Good morning, 29th Anneal Church family. Welcome, guests. We're grateful to be together this morning. Grateful for this opportunity to worship together and to share a message of good news. For those of you that are new to this gathering, Mike Lewis is a preaching minister here. We heard from Mike a little bit earlier. I hope you take the opportunity to meet Mike and Jana. They're a blessing to this church family. Please get to know them. They have a heart to serve God with you. Mike's got a series upcoming on the cross of Christ. He was telling me a little bit about that before our service this morning. That's something to be looking forward to. How many people do you know that have regrets? Maybe there was something that they did that they wish they hadn't. Maybe there was something that they didn't do that they wish they had. I hardly hear the word regret without thinking of a picture I once saw of a 19 or 20-year-old young man who was getting a tattoo. I wish I could show you the picture because a photo says so much, but I'll try my best to describe it. Well, his shirt sleeve was pulled all the way up, and his big old bicep was bare. And being engraved in big dark letters were some words, but his face was pulled up and his eyes were closed, had a big grimace as he was getting the tattoo. On his arms were two simple words with an exclamation mark at the end. The words were, "No regrets." You see, the second E and the second R were switched. And rather than having no regrets, he had no regrets. We've all got those, don't we? Most of us, humans, try as we do, still have regrets. I know that I have plenty, and I suspect you do too. Some regrets are small and fleeting. There are those that are like, I wish I hadn't eaten all of those. Some regrets are bigger and haunting. I wish I had treated differently. Regrets can be beneficial. They teach us what matters to us. We can acknowledge the regret, make amends, resolve to do things differently, and then do them differently. Some regrets stick with us because the opportunity to make amends passes and things can't be easily mended. Sometimes, however, we get a do-over, a mulligan, an opportunity to do what we wished we had done. And today is just such an opportunity for me. Please allow me to explain. For those of you that were here in January and February, I preached several messages on the subject of prayer. At that time, I passed over a sermon idea, an idea that I believe is a powerful idea. Whether for lack of courage or its unorthodox nature, or for whatever reason, I decided not to do something that I wished we had done. You see, I did lots of talking about prayer, but I don't feel like I led us to pray. One of the things I realized is that we, each of us, live our individual lives and have all of our own experiences and relationships, cares and concerns. We have our own thoughts and feelings. We have the things that have happened in our lives this past week that were good, and some that were bad, and some that were neutral. And we bring all of those, or some remnant of those, with us as we gather as a body of Christ. But rarely do we share those with God or with another person. You know, that's okay, I guess. However, sometimes it seems like we come together loaded, and maybe we leave loaded as well. Sometimes when we pray congregationally, there doesn't seem to be a right space to share what we're carrying with us. Someone else leads the prayers, and somehow our stuff just doesn't make it in. You know what I'm saying? This morning, I would like to do something different. Rather than talking at you or talking to you, today I propose that we listen to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And periodically pause to pray silently. I would like this sermon to be your sermon, for you to respond to Jesus' words that he gave to disciples, and to say the words that need to be said by you to God in prayer. I would like this sermon to be our collective prayer to God in response to Jesus' teaching. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew uses chapter 4 to set his readers up for Jesus' ministry, and particularly the sermon that we'll find in chapters 5 through 7. In verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4, it goes this way. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Kind of need a map in your mind here. Jesus is withdrawing to Galilee. Remember, the region of Galilee is up around the Sea of Galilee. Out of the Sea of Galilee flows the Jordan River that flows into the Dead Sea. Jesus is up here around the sea. Leaving Nazareth, he went up and he lived in Capernaum. Capernaum was a city or a town at the very north end of the Sea of Galilee. Scripture says it was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." I have two little episodes. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And these are the first of Jesus' disciples. Verse 23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. When we think of Galilee, we're thinking of a region, or for us, a state or an area. Jesus is going throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. That's the region north of Galilee. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee. The Decapolis were the 10 cities to the east of the Sea of Galilee. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Judea, the region that was all around Jerusalem. And the region across the Jordan, which was where John had been baptizing, on the east of the Jordan River. Large crowds from all those areas followed him. Now I'd like for us to open a prayer. I'd like to open a prayer with you. And rather than closing this prayer, I'd like to leave it open so that we can continue in prayer as we listen and reflect on Jesus' words from the sermon. After reading several portions from Matthew chapters 5 through 7 from the NIV translation, and pausing several times for us to pray individually, I will close out our silent congregational prayer. All right, you ready? Let's begin. Our Father in heaven, blessed be your name, Lord, now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may your name be praised. High are you, Lord, above all nations, your glory above the heavens. There is none like you, O Lord, our God, in heaven or on earth. O Lord, our God, we thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us in the past, and all the ways you are blessing us today, and all the ways that you will bless us in the future. Now we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the wisdom you desire to share with us during this time of prayer as we listen to and pray Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Bless those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus said many other words in this sermon, but concluded with these. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Our Heavenly Father, the Lord our God, we thank you for this time of listening to and responding to Jesus. We thank you, Father, for these moments of prayer, for the inspirations, the resolutions you placed on our hearts and on our minds. Give us the courage to live them this week and beyond. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. An early Christian from the 5th century, Basil the Great, observed, "The only thing Satan can do to harm God is to rob the hearts of men from being the throne room of God." The only thing Satan can do to harm God is to rob the hearts of men from being the throne room of God. When someone asks, or when you reflect upon what we did at church today, maybe we'll respond, we worshiped God together, we listened to Jesus, and we prayed. According to the Gospel of John, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room celebrating the Passover meal before the crucifixion, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me." A little later that night, Jesus said, "When the advocate comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." How about you? Have you built your life on the rock, Jesus? Well, this morning you could confess your belief in Jesus and be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps you have need of confession or prayer. Our opportunity at this time is for you to respond, whether you do that privately or publicly, now as we stand and sing.